Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Redan Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Ben Griffin. It is with great enthusiasm that I ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. And we want to thank you for tuning in this day. We know this is the day the Lord has made. We know we also have challenges in these days, and because we're human beings and there are things that we deal with from time to time, that we're not always handling in the most appropriate way. But we want to pray for those who are having these challenges, perhaps uninvited challenges, but they nevertheless are having these challenges. I'm reminded of the folklore entitled Casey at Bat. And some of you who've been around a few days may have had these short stories, these folklore assignments in your learning as an elementary kid or even middle school kid. But Casey at Bat, it's a story that deals with this great baseball player. He was a home run king. I mean, all through the season, Casey would hit home runs just by nature of habit. And all through the season, he was just a great hero. And folk from miles and miles around would come to see Casey knock the ball out of the park effortlessly. However, during the last game of the season, the championship game, Casey's team had two men on base, and there were no outs. And then one man came up, and he struck out. And then the next guy come up, and he struck out. And all they needed was to bring one man in, and they would have won the championship. But no one feared, because they knew Casey was a number third person to come up to the plate. And Casey, no doubt that he swung with fierceness, and he missed the first pitch, and he swung with fierceness, and he missed the second pitch, and he swung with fierceness, and the crowd roared, "The mighty Casey has struck out." This hero, this emblem of perfection, he failed them. He let them down when they felt they needed him the most. The mighty Casey has struck out. Now, year in, year out, Casey would knock home runs, knock in three plays, three runs, four runs, and everybody gave him all the accolades. But now Casey didn't perform up to their expectation when they felt they needed him the most. Now, all Casey's worth was gone down the drain. It was considered as in vain. All his labor, all that he'd done, all the joy that he brought to the hearts of his fans, it was though it was no more. We find that a story of a preacher who had worked with the church for about 35 years, done a superb job. The church, when he first got involved, had about 40 members. And he grew the church about 200-300 after the second, third year, and the fourth, fifth year, it was up to 400, and I think they got about 800 members in the congregation. And here it is in his 35th year. He decides to resign. He had enough of leading the church, and he just wanted to do something different. And so he turns in his resignation, and he gave them a 60-day notification. And the very ones that whom he groomed for church leadership, because this person decided to do something different, after all the years of all the labor and the sweat and tears, sacrifice he contributed to the growth and success of this church, he gave them a 60-day notice, and one or two of the leaders decided to cut him off right then and now. We don't need a 60-day notice. He don't want us no more. We don't want him any longer either. So their intention was to just end his employment that day that they got the resignation. And of course, there was one who had a reasonable mind, said, look, he's been with us 35 years. He's built this church practically. Why not just let him have his way? He notified us 60 days out, allow him to have his time. Well, the other prevailing mind said, well, he's not going to be functional for the next 60 days. So let's end his contract right now. And the other man said, look, but the man has worked hard. He loved the church. The church loved him. And so they came to a compromise. Well, we're going to wait till his 30 days, and then we're going to just end it because he's not going to be as functional. You know, I'm often wondering, you know, being a minister myself, if I was to experience something like that, 40 years of preaching, and at the time I decided I wanted to do something different, what would be the reaction of those whom I nurtured and mentored to for all these many years? They'd cut me off just like that. It makes you feel as though your labor has been in vain. I wonder how Casey felt after all these years he entertained the crowd. He, because of their support of him and their love for him, he was able to knock home run after home run after home run, win game after game after game, and now Casey strikes out. Or he, someone may be that you made a bad decision, even as a parent. You've done all the right things for all the right reason. But at a moment, you make a decision that's very unpopular. Take, for instance, our president. He pulled soldiers out of Afghanistan, and now someone complains how he did it. If you understand how many young men and young women have lost their lives in a senseless war, you ought to be glad that the president ended the war and pulled your son and your daughter, no more missing arms and legs and eyes and gone forever, and the attachments of your body, extremities just mutilated due to bombs and war. You would want to be grateful that the president made a choice to end a senseless, useless war. But there were those who rallied against how he did it. And no doubt they had their wrong intentions. But again, his decision appears to be in vain. You know, that's why I want to encourage you this morning, because I know sometimes no matter what position you're in, maybe on your job, you make sacrifice, you never called in sick, you never came in late, and now you need time to go and bury your dead, and you're told by your boss, we can't let you off. Out of all this sacrifice, commitment, and love you show for your job, now when you need your job the most, they are not there for you. And so all of this punctuality and all of this commitment and all of this love that you share towards your career, your job, your workplace, now your workplace won't love you back. And you can only be thinking, I did all of this for nothing. Well, I want to encourage you this morning, as a worker of the Lord, that all the sacrifice, all the giving, all the caring, all the commitment, all the sacrifice, everything you've done in the name of the Lord for the Lord's sake is not in vain. You know, Paul was encouraging the church in Corinth at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And notice that, in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor, your effort is not empty, it's not for naught, it's not useless in the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, trying to be more creative, trying to make it better, trying to be more productive, trying to find a better solution to the problem of the world. Try to grow your church, grow your home, grow your family, grow your workplace, make it better, improve it, because you are working for the Lord. You know, the story is told about this lady who cleaned stairs in this hotel. And she was a Christian lady. She was a believer. And all through the day, she would go and keep the stairs polished and shine and clean. And no doubt people would come from upstairs and downstairs and go up. And she would be polishing the steps. You know, 25 steps going up, and she kept these steps polished and clean and shining and looking good. And, of course, there was someone who complained, how can you all day long, back and forth, clean these steps and knowing folk can walk on these steps? Say, you know, I was unemployed. I was living on the street. I had nowhere to go. And this hotel manager gave me a job, and my job is to keep the stairs clean. And I prayed to the Lord delivered me, and the Lord gave me this job. And so I'm not doing this just to please the boss. I'm doing this because the Lord blessed me with this job. He blessed me with the opportunity. I no longer have to sleep on the street. I no longer have to beg people. Not only did I get a job, but the hotel manager gave me a room to sleep in as part of my income, part of my salary. So I can do these steps. I can polish. I can wash. I can buff. I can shine because I'm not doing this to please anyone else but the Lord. And so we must understand that a lot of things we do, we need to ask ourselves, who am I doing this to the glory of? People, myself, or the Lord? This is what keeps me in the game of ministry. I can't be doing things. Yes, I like success. Yes, I like to see people smile, and I love to hear great sermon, Brother Ben. Great job, my brother. Yes, that does something for me. But at the end of the day, my mind said to me, what does the Lord has to say about the matter? Yes, do what you do, but do it unto the Lord, so that your labor would not be in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for this day. We thank you for this moment in time that you've bestowed upon us. We pray for all these workers of the Lord, all these soldiers of Christ, all those who are on this call who have been challenged by life, who make sacrifices day in, day out, who wonder how they're going to pay their bills from time to time, how they're going to make ends meet, but yet they're working in the kingdom and they so sometimes don't see no way out. But I want to encourage them through this prayer and also through the lesson that their labor is not in vain in you. We just pray, Heavenly Father, you continue to bless them, give them the strength and tenacity, allow them to keep their focus on the fact that they're laboring in your kingdom for your cause, that you may be glorified. And we know that you, time and time again, give them hope to continue on. We pray that you give them more hope, even on today, that they can go into their workplace with a smile on their face and be thankful that I have a job to go to. I have a desk to sit behind. I have a place to call my own because you helped me to get to where I am now. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are becoming weary and well-doing, who've been discouraged because of the way they have been treated, even though they made sacrifice upon sacrifice, and it doesn't seem like no one would appreciate them, but they need to know that you appreciate them. In your name, we ask it all. Amen.